Good morning. Welcome to Christ for Us, a confessional Lutheran broadcast. This is Pastor Rolf Preuss of First Confessional Lutheran Parish, First American Lutheran Church in Mayville, First Evanger Lutheran Church in Fertile, and Grace Lutheran Church in Crookston. We read this morning from St. Mark, chapter 8, verse 2. I have compassion on the multitude, because they have now continued with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. Following these comments of the Lord Jesus, he fed 4,000 people with 7 loaves of bread and a few small fish. Oftentimes, when the gospel writers wrote about Jesus' miracles, they referred to them as signs. Now, a sign signifies something. When we consider the miracles of Jesus, we need to ask, what does this sign signify? The miraculous feeding of the 4,000 signifies that Jesus is God. He is the Creator. He takes care of us. He feeds us, provides for all our bodily needs. Do you believe that? The Bible says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11, verse 1. The multitude of 4,000 hungry people could see no food. Among all of them, they had only 7 loaves of bread and a few small fish. If there had been plenty of food visible to them, there would have been no particular need to trust that God would provide food. And so it is that when God uses natural means to provide us with all that we need to support our bodies in this world, it's easy for us to ignore the fact that God is doing the providing. But when Jesus chooses a dramatic sign, a miracle, well, that's hard to ignore. The sun shines, the rain falls, the crops grow, the markets work, more or less. The economy remains sound, and we find that what we need is there for us when we need it. But the fact that God is in control is not seen. So Jesus gives us a sign. And then in giving us this sign, we are to look beyond the sign to see what it is that the sign signifies. Jesus wants us to know and believe that He is our God and that He will provide for our every need. Now, usually when we think of our Creator, we think of God the Father. And when we think of our Redeemer, we think of God the Son. After all, it was Jesus who became a man and lived, suffered, and died for us on the cross and then rose again. But the Bible teaches that the triune God is our Creator. If you read in Genesis chapter 1, you will see that the Father, the Word, that is the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all revealed at the very creation of the world. And Jesus said that He does the works of the Father. So we are to look to Jesus, our brother, and confess that He is our God, the only begotten Son of the Father. And this sign of feeding the 4,000 teaches us to see that the Redeemer and Savior, who's given up His life for us, is also our Creator God, who cares for us in this life. It's common to divide God up into different categories. We'll take our spiritual needs and put them over here, and then our bodily needs, we'll put them over there, and then we'll compartmentalize God even as we compartmentalize our lives. When it comes to spiritual truth, we might let God be God, because after all, spiritual truth should be God's business. But when it comes to making a living, buying, selling, taking care of our financial responsibilities, well, we would rather put ourselves in charge. Jesus joins the spiritual and the material. First, He joins the human race. The eternal God becomes flesh and blood. The creature is served by His Creator. The Creator serves His creation by becoming a man. God, who is a spirit by nature, is incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and is made man. God, who is a spirit by nature, is flesh and blood. St. Paul says of Jesus, in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now, this is a wonderful mystery of the faith. And this same Jesus, who in his own person has joined the spiritual to the material, is our teacher. He teaches us to see spiritual benefits and material benefits as both coming from the same source. He wants us to understand that the God who forgives us our sins and gives us eternal life is the same God who governs nature and this world for our benefit. The God who took upon himself our human nature in order to suffer for our sins on the cross and take them away is the same God who feeds us, clothes us, and shelters us. It's not as if you have one God who takes care of spiritual needs and a different God who takes care of material needs. No, it is the same God who takes care of both material and spiritual needs. Our God is our brother. Is it possible that the one who bore divine vengeance against our sin in order to rescue us from punishment would forget that we need to pay our bills? Or could the one who came into this world to save sinners simply ignore the material needs of those sinners for whom he shed his blood? Could the one who teaches us eternal mysteries that bring comfort and peace and true joy to the soul neglect the needs of our body and forget what it's like to be without? Of course not. Jesus teaches not only by miracles, he teaches by simple speaking. If you read the Sermon on the Mount in the Gospel of St. Matthew, the 6th chapter, there's a section where Jesus talks about not worrying. Beautiful section about how God takes care of the birds of the air and the flowers of the field. And then Jesus clinches his argument with these words recorded in Matthew 6, verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Here, our Lord Jesus joins the promise of spiritual benefits to the promise of material benefits. What God has joined together, let not man put asunder. And Jesus makes it crystal clear which benefits are the most important. The Holy Spirit chose to inspire the accounts of both the feeding of the 5,000 and the feeding of the 4,000 several times in the New Testament. Both of these events are recorded in order to teach us. And here in St. Mark's Gospel, we see that the crowd had been with Jesus for 3 days. Now, whatever food they brought with them was gone, and they were hungry. But why didn't they leave earlier? Surely they knew that their food was running out. They knew where they lived. They knew where food was available. Surely they understood that they couldn't buy food out in the desert. It's not like you have a local fast food restaurant that you can go visit. So what are they doing there? Why didn't these people, thousands of people, take on the responsibility of providing sufficient food for themselves and their families? What kept them out there in the desert? Jesus did. His teaching did. They wanted to listen to him. They wanted to learn from him. They wanted to receive divine instruction from him. They wanted to know the mysteries of the faith that flowed from Jesus' mouth. They wanted refreshment for their souls. They wanted to learn of a gracious and loving Father in heaven who had compassion on sinful people. They wanted to know all that they could learn about the kingdom of God in which God's grace ruled. They wanted to know what kind of lives God gave them to live after redeeming them from their sins and their fear of death. They hungered and thirsted for the righteousness that they didn't have in themselves, but which the Lord Jesus offered to them freely by his grace. They sought first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and they received food for their bodies as well. But is that safe to do? I mean, don't we need to make a living? Surely in Bible times God did miracles to prove a point, but we can't depend on miracles today, can we? But we can depend on the God who does them. And that's the whole point of the miracle. The sign signifies what our God is like. It teaches us that He will provide much more than we need to support our bodily lives here on earth. When we tend to our spiritual needs before we tend to our physical needs, God is going to see to it that both physical and spiritual needs are satisfied. The psalmist wrote, "I have been young and now am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread." Do we believe him? Or do we neglect our spiritual needs as we place any number of things before the need we have to receive God's word? Now, there are certain life-saving occupations, police officers, firefighters, doctors, nurses, that require people to be on duty even on a Sunday morning. The church doesn't need rules that require attending church every Sunday morning, regardless of the circumstance. However, the fact remains that Christians have been setting aside Sunday mornings for church services for over 1,900 years now. And the sad fact of our day is that there are more and more events that interfere with a Christian hearing the preaching of God's word on a Sunday. Christians think nothing of skipping church to attend a sports event, skipping church to make a little bit more money, skipping church because they have to drive somewhere, they got to plant, they've got to harvest, they've got to do something. Maybe they're on vacation. Maybe it's the only day they can take off. Christians skip church for just about any reason you can think of. And meanwhile, Jesus says, "My sheep listen to my voice." But sheep are foolish. They run off, thinking who knows what, as they get themselves lost and confused. They think they're being so very responsible when they neglect their spiritual needs for their material needs. They forget that it's one and the same God who provides for both. They forget that our souls need to be fed with the Word of God. And so they starve their souls while they feed their bodies. And then when they face spiritual crises in life, they don't know what to do. They imitate the unbelieving world, adopting unchristian standards of morality and taking in as divine truth every trendy error you can imagine. And how does Jesus view these foolish sheep? He has compassion on them. He invites them to put first things first. He didn't bear their sins on the cross and rescue them from the power of the devil simply to abandon them in their material and spiritual needs, but he takes care of them. And when they take care to listen to his word as their first concern in life, he not only establishes them in the true faith, but he also takes care to provide for their material needs as well. And more than that, as they run to his word for the spiritual food that they need, he forgives them for their sin of neglecting it. He washes them clean and pronounces them innocent. He imputes to them his own righteousness and makes them saints. He feeds them both body and soul. We thank you for being with us today on Christ For Us. We invite you to visit the congregations of our parish. First, Evanger Lutheran Church in Fertile, Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. Grace Lutheran Church in Crookston, Sunday morning at 9:30. And First American Lutheran Church in Mayville, Sunday morning at 11:30. And please tune in next Sunday morning for the next broadcast of Christ For Us.